Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. There's a new duo in the midday.
Have Dynamic.
Is that what they said?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. That's one of our drops. There you go. I haven't heard that one. We got to get that one.
I played this song for you guys, Two America's Most Wanted.
That's right. The Bad Boys of the Midday.
Yep. That's what they're calling you.
Yeah.
I was at Winco last night. Someone stopped me and they're like, wait, didn't you produce for the Bad Boys of Midday today? I'm like, can't answer that. Sorry,
yeah,
pal.
Yeah. Sorry, classified pal. Information.
Put my hood on, kept walking.
Yeah. Talk to my lawyer.
Yeah.
You don't mention the Midday.
No, not the Bad
first
Boys.
First rule about Midday. Don't talk about
Midday.
Don't talk
about Midday.
There you go. The Bad Boys of the Midday. Taking you up
streets
to 2 p.m. There you go.
Everyone at Winco. Stop at me.
Getting some cheese. Yeah. Some salami.
We got some cheese and salami and carrots
today. You should get everything at Winco. Winco is
cheese, salami, and secrets. That's what it's all about.
That's my memoir, actually. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
that
it's also a podcast somewhere. I can guarantee you that. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Doug that wants to talk some Kings. Last night it was looking more like the Kangs. Sorry, Doug, didn't want to say it. How you doing? What you got for us, Styles and Watkins?
Well, tell you what. First off, I've called before and stuff, and I just love being able to get on the phone and talk with you guys because you really do sports. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't leave to go to ESPN. I turned that crap off years ago. So you guys give the local flavor. You talk about things that that are important, and that's why I listen to you guys. And that part is really wonderful to me because I can go through the TV and just go click, 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 and I just keep turning the channel. So I really appreciate what you guys do.
Well, thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man. You get what you deserve.
Thank you.
And that's what I say about that. Regarding the Kings and stuff, you guys already have nailed it. You know, there's teams that you play really well against, and you go on, and we got those guys' number, and they don't match up well with us. Well, there's teams out there that we don't match up well with either. And it's not an excuse. It's a reality. And then when you're trying to go in and find guys that fit our style, if we're trying to run and tempo is everything to us, well, you're going to give stuff up to get that. And if you believe you can only outscore teams, that's what you're going to have. If you believe you want to get to knock down, drag out, hey, let's punch you in the face kind of thing, that's not us, not yet. So, that's what I have, and I just wanted to just tell you that I believe in the Kings. I've been following since 1989. I stay, my heart stays with the locally with the team where I live. So that's why I'm a Kings guy. Good, bad, or ugly, that's who I am. So thank you. Have a continued great show. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. Keep calling in. That was good stuff.
Anytime.
You know, when we talk about the Kings' defense and having the requisite parts to defend and how the Kings have looked better, has it really just been they've looked – I'm trying to think now about the games where it feels like they've really turned it up a notch, right? And hasn't it been just against teams that aren't long and athletic, right? Do they look like the same team they looked like last season defensively against teams that gave them trouble last season defensively, right? They're better.
Yeah.
Their effort might be better, but – maybe you are hitting that ceiling to where, they're defending better, and that's why they're ranked a little bit higher than they were last season, because they're doing better against the teams where they can compete with on the defensive end. But the teams that have that have been a problem for them are just simply still a problem for them.
Yeah, I think that's a really great way of putting it, because it does feel like they still haven't fixed that problem that still existed from last year, but they've definitely improved in some areas. The defense is the improvement on the defensive end has made it so it kind of shores up maybe some of those fringe losses or 50-50 games. Because last year it felt like it was truly offense is going to do well today, and if the offense does well, they're going to win the game. And if it doesn't go to their max capacity of offense, then they're probably not going to win. And this year with the defense, they've been able to shore up some of those games, tighten it up a little bit, but they really still even haven't lost too many teams this year. They've lost to Golden State twice. They've lost to the Rockets twice. They've now lost to the Pelicans three times, and they've lost to the Clippers. That's it. Like, that's still their only losses on the season. It's tough to not it's tough to go back and forth on is there something fundamentally wrong, or like you said, like, or I'm sorry, is there something, is it just that length problem that is their kryptonite? And there is, as there tends to be with kryptonite, there's not really an answer for it. There, it just is their weakness, and they cannot address anything that has to do with that weakness. It kind of feels like that's what it is. I mean, it does feel like this team, like you said, they're able to rise to the occasion and beat really good teams. The fact that they've taken out Denver and Dallas and Minnesota, even though they weren't healthy. And, you know, to me, I still think they looked the best in that little two-game stretch against OKC and against Cleveland at home. Like, they've beaten really good opponents. It just, to your point, like, it feels like there is this type of team that they can put a good effort against, maybe, but they just don't have an overall answer to ultimately solve that problem or make that problem less of a problem.
Yeah, and you know, that brings us all the way back to the Jose Alvarado conversation.
Oh gosh.
Because with all the length that we've been talking about, and I'm already I'm always going to shout out the little guy here on this show, my Zants. I'm always going to do it, because with all the length that we're talking about, without the smallest guy on that Pelican team, the Kings probably win. I think without Jose Alvarado, I don't think that quarter ends and the Kings are still up 10. I think that you said it yourself. You said, "Okay, you know, Brandon Ingram hit a mid-range on the baseline," and I think you kind of said to me, you said, okay, now they're in rhythm now.
Yeah.
So Jose Alvarado, basically that was a game that the Pelicans were supposed to lose.
Yep.
If you do a different dimension, I'm almost done with Loki on Disney Plus, right? On a different timeline, the Pelicans don't have Jose Alvarado. The Kings come out, blow their doors off in the first quarter, and the Pelicans just can't come back. They don't have the horses.
Yeah.
But that's why you construct your roster in a certain way, and Jose Alvarado comes in the game and essentially erases that first quarter.
Yeah. He was their Malik Monk last night. He just did it in a different way.
Yeah. He erased the whole first quarter, which gave the whole Pelicans team life and said, okay, cool. We just played terribly and we can just redo that now and start all over. And on top of that, we're playing a Kings team now who's shook because their fans were rocking. Mm-hmm. We just took them out the game, or Jose just took them out the game. Now we get a mulligan in the first quarter and get to come back and give you that work and start from scratch and see what we can do. And now the Kings are on their heels because they thought we were just not that they thought we're going to cruise, but okay, cool. This is going to be a game where let's just keep them at bay. And you blinked and they were up by one at the end of the first. And it felt like the longest first quarter in the history of the NBA.
It was a really weird first quarter. It felt like there was like, three different quarters in that one quarter where, the Kings kind of took the lead and then Jose checks in and kind of turns it around and then and then makes it like within reaching distance. And then all of a sudden by the end of the quarter, it's a 1-point game and everyone's looking around. I think and it ends with the tip as well. Isn't that?
Yeah.
That was at the end
really
of the first quarter.
It was really bad. There was an and one.
Right.
Because they were still up. They were still up.
Yeah.
They were still up six or five, something like that.
Yeah.
And then the last second, I forget what happened. Somebody missed on the Kings end. Mm-hmm. They had the super random. He throws it high off the glass.
Right.
That goes in. And then I believe he missed the free throw.
Yep.
And then they tip
the tip. Right. So it's like a 6-point swing or whatever in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that game was completely flipped on its head. Like, I give Jose Alvarado tons of credit. He was a plus 10 in the plus minus in that first quarter. And then also, you mentioned I talked about throwing the Kings out of rhythm with Jose. That first quarter shot the lights out from three. 7 of 11 from three at the end of the first quarter. I'm going to read off every other quarter after that. So first quarter, 7 of 11 from three. Second quarter, they go 1 of 7 from three. The following quarter, they go 4 of 12 from three. And then in the fourth, they go 2 of 11 from three. So he just completely – they never found that rhythm after. It was a game of catch-up. And, I mean, that's where you see – you know, like it's been talked about mainly with Keegan, but I think you see it as a team when they start to have to play defense at a high level. That's when the offense falls off a little. Like you like at the beginning of the game, you can go all gas, no brakes on offense. You can try and put together a 45-point first quarter to the point where the Pelicans just can't ever come back, and you never have to go full tilt defensively. Well, to your point and what you laid out there, the Kings were doing that, and then all of a sudden the Pelicans got back into it out of nowhere, and then that last three quarters all of a sudden turned into, well, you have to win those three quarters, and it turned into, I mean, the Pelicans just absolutely dominated. They won every single quarter after that and never really looked back. So, I mean, and really the game was won in the second quarter. That second quarter, again, it felt like all the momentum went from being completely on the Kings' side to then with that tip at the end of the first quarter, all the momentum went to the Pelicans.
I think everybody was shook.
Yeah,
I was shook.
It felt like it. The entire arena, it was silent. Like, it was quiet in that arena for really like the first 3 to 4 minutes of that second quarter.
Jose Alvarado.
Jose.
Grand Theft Alvarado. Got to get to a break. When we get back, former player ESPN analyst says a healthy 49ers team is unbeatable. Is he wrong? That and more. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Breaking down all things Kings, Pellies. They went Pellies on you.
Yeah.
Last night, they took care of business.
Yeah.
So do you do this? I know this isn't, and we talked about it a little bit when it was Warriors Kings, but the Pelicans lose now. Do you root for the Pelicans to win the whole thing and feel like, hey, we lost to the champs? If it wasn't for the Pelicans, we would have won it.
Oh, that's a great question. Who's the Kings fan rooting interest at this point? I mean, I think there's a good...
I can
good,
tell you who it's not.
No, I think that there's going to be a good, healthy portion of Kings fans that might say, okay, Tyrese, like, I can root for Tyrese.
Really?
I think so.
Well, not the Lakers.
That's the thing,
for sure.
Not the Lakers.
And probably not the Celtics, right?
Well, Celtics are out of it now. Not the Suns either, though. Like, you're not going to root for either of the two other West teams. Like, you're not going to root for the Lakers for sure.
Right.
Suns, I guess you could. The Kings-Suns rivalry doesn't really exist, but still a division rival. On the East side, I mean, I don't think there's many Bucks ties here or anything. Knicks, maybe you could root for in the sense of, hey, they're kind of in a like a bizarro Kings where they also haven't had success in a long time, but they're
like a giant market.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's like the counter of smallest market to like probably the biggest. But if I had to guess, if we're doing the pie, I would say probably 35% to 40%. I would say are rooting for the Pacers. People love Tyrese Halliburton, I don't think they like the conversation around Tyrese Halliburton, but Tyrese Halliburton, the individual, people loved him here.
Okay,
Buddy Hield might decrease. You might be losing 5 to 10% with Buddy being on that roster, but I think for the most part, people like Tyrese. Plus, it's a really similar system to what the Kings ran last year.
So no one is rooting for the Pelicans, huh?
Hey,
we lost to the eventual champs.
I don't think so. I think if you lose to a team three times, though, I guess, you could maybe at least throw the silver lining of, we lost to the defending in-season tournament champions. So I guess maybe that's, if that means anything to anybody, I guess.
Yeah. All right. I'm thinking here.
What do you think? So the worst matchup in terms of what Adam Silver would be rooting for in terms of general population interest has to be Pelicans Pacers at this point, right? Because obviously
if
the Knicks are in it.
But at least you have Halliburton and...
Of course. That's what's so funny. Great about the NBA, though.
That's what's so funny to me because as someone who, you know, my mom spent some years in New York and like I never really... Hey, when... The Knicks are good. It's good for basketball. I don't have that in me.
Yeah.
When the Raiders are good, it's good for football. And they can say that about any. There's so many teams you can say that
Yankees,
about.
Dodgers.
Right. It's good.
Red Sox.
Because if I'm as someone who doesn't, you know, have any ties really to New York or anything like that, maybe I'm alone on this. On the other side of, and maybe it's something with California and New York being the coast, and there's a little bit of, I don't think a rivalry, but it's just East Coast, West Coast, you know, Tupac, RIP, all that. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that I would be more inclined, based on what I saw last night, to watch whoever versus the Pacers than whoever and the Knicks.
I agree. I definitely agree, because I don't think that, yeah, I don't think the Knicks-ness of it, I don't think the New York-ness of it is going to pull a lot of Sacramentans into watching TNT on a Friday night or on a Saturday, I think it's going to be at 5 o'clock our time. I don't think so. Yeah, I think if the NBA is looking for, I mean, because even Milwaukee's been a pretty boring team up to this point this year. Like, I don't know how much Milwaukee would even, you know, move the needle a lot. I think, of course, from the national perspective, You do get the star power of Giannis and Dame.
And Dame has not been good.
No, he has not. He has not been excellent. He wouldn't be on an all-NBA list if the season ended today. I think the Pacers, in a weird way, actually probably are the best story on that side of the bracket for the NBA to root for, because then you also get the, hey, small markets, this is something to try and aspire for. Like, this is, you know, I think the NBA, again, like we said earlier, I think some teams might be afraid of that label to say, oh, okay, cool, you won in-season tournament, doesn't mean anything. But I think the NBA at the same time would love it if the Atlanta Hawks of the world and the Orlando Magic of the world really try and make this in-season tournament. It has to mean something for somebody, and I think it would be a good representation of the NBA if the team, like the Pacers, a young team that has some star power, wins it in a small market as well, to show this thing does have some value. And the West side, I mean, at this point, yeah, I mean, of course, the NBA wants the Lakers. That's really what it is. I mean, you really don't even need to have much of a conversation. The NBA wants LeBron James in this in-season tournament final.
There you go. Well, hopefully, if you're rooting for Halliburton, they truck along.
Yeah.
And speaking of, it is time for our Truck Smart.
Doesn't get better than that.
Drive of the week, brought to you by Truck Smart, your premium retailer and installer of truck and SUV accessories for over 30 years. Your trucks gonna love them. And we have a special edition of the Truck Smart Drive of the Week. And the special edition is that all of the drives come from one game, Chris Watkins.
Yeah, and you might also recognize another theme here, but we'll get to that when it becomes a little bit more obvious. The first one, I mean, yeah, we usually I don't even throw in a Niners highlight into this. It's happened, whether it be a 60-yard Ayuk touchdown or a 60-yard George Kittle touchdown. I mean, y'all had to guess that this week we were going to at least squeeze in one of Deebo Samuel's touchdowns. Yes. And first and foremost, I mean, the dude was just taking the ball and running with it, quite literally. Starting off with this slant that he took all the way to the house. I believe this is the 0.1% chance that he had to score. And Deebo Samuel, he did just that. He scored.
First and 10, Niners in the Philly 48. Purdy looks left, now middle, throws, caught. Broken tackle by Deebo Samuel, runs for a first down, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! San Francisco!
What an absolute beast, Deebo Samuel. The throw is on time. It's Deebo Samuel. He is working a crossing route over the middle of the field. Nick Morrow just bounces off 19. Deebo says, I'm going north and south. I am going to hit the gas pedal, and just carries Darius Slay into the end zone.
I don't think I've ever seen him run faster.
Just absolutely incredible. Yeah. I mean, just the touchdown run itself, it was such a Deebo run. Mm. It was so perfect. I mean, just shout out Deebo Samuel for an incredible game. And definitely hope to recognize that in this Truck Smart Drive of the game. That is Deebo Samuel taking a slant to the house. Next up on the list, tons of great touchdowns this week. But this one just really felt like it had to be on the list. We're going to go with Deebo Samuel again, taking this, of course. That was a slant, and that's already tough enough to take to the house. How about a screen? How's that sound to you? This is actually how it sounded to you.
Deebo Samuel is loose. Touchdown! San Francisco, the Deebo dash.
What a play call. Quick perimeter screen out to the left. Quick snap. Deebo's waving bye-bye to this Philadelphia crowd.
Just pretty good, huh? This guy's pretty good.
Pretty decent. Yes. I would definitely say so. So got to the end zone so quick that Papa didn't even really have time to set it up. He was just like, oh, and Debo takes and he's gone into the end zone, touchdown.
Did he only have two, Chris? Is that kind of what the situation was?
I thought so, yeah. I'm looking at Debo's stats right now.
It says
passing touchdowns, receiving touchdowns. He had two. Yeah, he had two receiving touchdowns. So that's it.
So no more on the truck smart then.
No, that's it for Debo Samuel with his receiving touchdowns, truck smart drive of the week. Those were Debo Samuel receiving touchdowns. We can't just do receiving touchdowns, right? We have to try and get a run in there, of course, like running backs. We talked all offseason long about the running back struggle and how they don't get enough attention. So truck smart drive of the week, we've got to include a run, right? Well, how about this Debo Samuel reverse for a touchdown on Sunday? And this was just Debo being, this is like throwback Debo almost, just taking the run into the house.
On the Philly 12-yard line, Ayuk goes in long motion left. It's Eli Mitchell now in, but it's an end around to Debo Samuel coming right, turns the corner, and goes into the end zone! Touchdown! San Francisco!
What a play to catch a defense that's trying like heck to make a play. Misdirection, reverse. Reddick takes the bait the whole way.
Oh, man. Mm. Tim Ryan just has the most fun, I think, of anybody on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, yeah. He
loves his job.
The audio for the someone online cut the TV highlights with the radio highlights, and the call he did on the Lenore hit on Swift was just fantastic. I mean, it's a brutal hit, but he's like, I saw that coming a mile away. Because off-screen, Lenore comes in and just crushes him.
Man. For me, it's either the first or the third.
Is it because of Tim Ryan? Because Tim Ryan makes one and three for me on the
call. Yeah, probably. Let's go with...
I like the first one. I like the slant.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my vote. I'm going to say that slant route for a touchdown, that was special. That was when it was like, that was the nail in the coffin. That was the... Y'all, this is not just like, we didn't just blow you guys out. We came, we saw, that we was, conquered, and y'all shut up forever.
Yeah.
The comeback after they scored to kind of the Jalen Hurts step. I will say Ronnie Bell may have gotten away with the little hold on
that's
there.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
I'm trying to be a little unbiased here.
There you go. Play it, Nate. That's the winner.
Play number one.
The slant.
Well, that number one slant was pretty impressive, wasn't it?
It was. It was pretty good.
If you had to say just one more great thing about it, what would it be?
It was Debo being Debo.
Yeah.
You know, when you can...
You know, when the weather's changing.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
First and 10 Niners in the Philly 48. Purdy looks left. Now middle throws. Caught. Broken tackle by Debo Samuel. Runs for a first down. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! San Francisco!
What an absolute beast, Debo Samuel. The throw is on time. It's Debo Samuel. He is working a crossing route over the middle of the field. Nick Morrow just bounces off 19. Debo says, I'm going north and south. I am going to hit the gas pedal, and just carries Darius Slay into the end zone.
I don't think I've ever seen him run faster.
Debo Weather.
Oh, my God.
It was Debo Weather.
It was Debo Weather. That was your Truck Smart Drive of the Week. Brought to you by Truck Smart, your premium retailer and installer of truck and SUV accessories for over 30 years. Your truck's going to love them. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Niners talk, more Kings talk. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We will be joined by the Drive Guys.
Actually, though,
in 15 minutes. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a trip to Japan to step to. Because Whitey Gleason is back. Saw him at the game last night. Had a lot to say. He's still the same Whitey Gleason, if anybody was wondering.
Didn't change.
Has not changed a bit, and that's why we love him. As we take you up to 2 p.m. here on the 916, Chris. Is this year's team better than last year's team, Kings team, or what? Is it too early to entertain that question? Because so far, it looks like at best we're the same team and the rest of the West got significantly more deep, which essentially means we got worse.
I don't know. I feel like, and I'm trying to remember my feelings on this team at this point last year. I mean,
10-9.
Right.
11-8 this season.
It feels like if I had to guess a difference of, again, like I'm just trying to remember where I was last year, but just putting the pieces together, like it probably felt like at this point last year, we felt more positively about the team because it was new.
Mm-hmm. Expectations are different.
Yeah, expectations are different. And I think their style of play was that was so fun and explosive that I don't think we really ever fully questioned if it was here to stay or if it was going to be long-term lasting. I think a lot of people were just like, this is awesome. How many games can they win? How mm-hmm. awesome is this going to get?
Right.
This year, to me, it feels like this team is, to your point, to the Texas point, it does feel similar, like they're in a similar spot. Mm-hmm. But I would say the difference is this year, it doesn't feel like the Kings have played a complete basketball game. Like
this
it doesn't,
year.
Yeah, like it hasn't really felt like they've played a game where they would say, that's exactly what we want to
Cleveland.
Do on the offense. And maybe that's the closest it's looked because, yeah, there was that was like the portion of the season where it felt like every day we were coming in and saying, best win of the year,
right.
best win of the year.
Right.
Probably around that period of time, it might have been the Cleveland game, might have been the OKC game. That's probably the closest they've been. But even then, if I remember correctly, those were games where Keegan was still in his, you know, Keegan and Kevin haven't clicked in the same game.
Right.
You haven't had, you know, HB give you 12 in a game where everybody is also getting 17 and 20-point performances. You haven't had, you know, the bench really contribute all double score figures or anything like that. It feels like there's still another level for this team to go to, which is exciting, but it's also a little frustrating because through 20 games, again, it doesn't really feel like they've put many. Of course, perfect performances isn't something that you can do every game, but it doesn't feel like they've played a similar style of basketball for like 4 or 5 games in a row, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's dependent so much on their shots falling that it's, again, like how much of it is it's your night versus it's just not. Like it doesn't feel like there's any happy medium. It doesn't feel like, feels like the Kings rarely shoot 37-38% from three. It's
right.
either 35 or it's 44%, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like they haven't found a realistic, consistent play that they can take game in, game out.
Yeah, and I think expectations is a huge thing. You had Keegan
yes,
as
absolutely.
A rookie last
yeah.
season, so nobody really expected
right.
him. Nobody knew what to expect
yep.
from Keegan Murray. You had De'Aaron Fox who... Okay, you know, still getting used to no Halliburton.
Right.
What is this guy going to do? Same with Sabonis.
All those guys were, I mean, Malik was new last
Malik,
year. Kevin was
right.
new last year.
Mike Brown.
Mike
right?
Brown,
so,
right. Biggest one of all.
So you had, I think that you were just happy with whatever.
Yes.
With whatever happened,
mm-hmm.
as long as you weren't losing.
Yep.
And let's see how far we can take this thing. Now, I think to the Texter's point, to 916's point, the West... I think the West is better than last season.
Yeah.
I do.
I think so. I think so.
Maybe we're...
I think it's collectively better.
Yeah. Maybe we're overdoing it a little bit. Because remember at the beginning... Because the Kyrie trade hadn't happened yet.
No. That happened
right?
at the deadline.
Kyrie trade hadn't happened yet.
KD, KD and Kyrie and James Harden
were
all still
East
in Brooklyn
Coast,
at this
right.
point.
Right. They were in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So they are all now in the West.
Right.
Gosh. So to that
put
point...
put it like that.
So to that point, yes... If you're not getting better, you're getting worse, right? And where has – I think a scary thing and scary way to ask this is, as far as the Texter is concerned, where has the Kings – or where have the Kings gotten better this season? And the only thing you could say is effort on defense.
Yeah.
Which clearly does not help you if you were just outmanned anyway.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, yes. But I would say that yeah. Yeah, I was going to try and defend the...
No,
but
it's I'm
like,
just saying,
yeah,
it's
that's
early.
Not, yeah,
it's
you
early.
Weren't, you weren't trying to make a point. Yeah.
No, it was 19 games
yeah.
in,
yeah.
but if you were to compare this team to last season's
totally.
Team and say, okay, this is what I'm seeing. Here's the problem. We have not seen the jump from Keegan yet.
Mm-hmm.
We have.
That's exactly correct. Yep.
You know, that's a big one, mm-hmm. right? We haven't seen the jump from Keegan.
We've seen a jump from De'Aaron, which has been huge.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's why they're at a similar record, is because mm-hmm. he has taken a leap that has definitely won them. I don't know how many games you want to give it, but it's been three or four games where De'Aaron being the best player on the floor has kind of won them the game.
Could you even say that you've seen a jump from Malik?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, maybe a more consistent, more consistency from him. I mean, what? I haven't checked it myself, so maybe I shouldn't throw it out there.
He pulled up from the logo last night.
Yeah, I mean, him and De'Aaron have combined for like 50 or 40 points in five straight games or something like that. Like, he's been a lot more consistent, and it feels like you feel his impact a lot more this year. Maybe he's getting more minutes, but it really feels like Malik has taken a leap as well. Like, he's been the second best player overall this season on this Kings team, I think, or at least impactful. I would say, yeah, Malik has probably been the guy more nights than not that shows up.
I would say Sabonis is a wash, right? I think
in terms of this first, I would say he's probably taking a step back over last year. Yeah. I think he was really, really good last year.
Yeah.
Like, he was career highs just across the board last year. And so naturally, you know, it's hard for, I think Sabonis even said it in his post game yesterday. Last year, it wasn't just Sabonis who had career years. Everybody had the year of their career last year, from Malik to Kevin to Sabonis to, you know, I think even De'Aaron to a certain extent had the best year of his career, efficiency wise, without a doubt. That's hard to build on. Like, that's hard to replicate as well. So they were naturally going to take a dip on that sense this year. But I think that's where the improvement in defense comes along and kind of, I think, like you said, just kind of averages, you know, levels everything out to a certain extent. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great point, though. Where have the Kings gotten better this year? It's really only defense. And, I mean, maybe you could say overall depth. Like, you're not having to try and steal minutes from Chimezie Metu and Rashawn Holmes and, you know, even Terrence Davis. TD gave you good minutes some nights, but, you know, I think the Kings' overall depth is probably better this year, but, you know, it hasn't really shown it every single night.
And that's why, Monty McNair, you get paid the big bucks, because there's something that needs to happen.
Yep.
I don't know what, right? Or maybe it's Mike Brown. Maybe that's why you're reigning coach of the year. Maybe it's you, and maybe it's is it Sasha? Who is it that can just give you a little bit more?
Yeah.
And going back to the whole questions that you're getting over and over again, we don't ask questions when the Kings win, right?
Correct.
But if we did,
yeah,
Harrison Barnes would definitely still be on the bench.
He would.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Or be on the bench, not still, would be on the bench, because he would be getting tired of it. So you avoid that conversation, because no one's going to ask a negative question after a win.
Right.
But
it's not the
how many times have they won? I don't want to say in spite of Harrison Barnes, but how many times have they won and without Harrison Barnes doing X, Y, Z, they lose?
10 times. 10 times this year.
No, I'm saying without Harrison Barnes. Or I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah,
if you were to take away.
I'm saying the only game that Harrison Barnes really impacted, in my opinion, the result of the game
was the Jazz.
Was game one.
Yeah.
Was game one. And besides that, I mean, I would have to look back at every single box score, but I mean, for the most part, yeah. I mean, it feels like he, even in wins, is a guy that you're just wanting a little bit more from. Not necessarily like he's not showing up every single night, but more times than not, it's you're looking at his performance and it's like, okay, yeah, Kevin Huerter scored 27, De'Aaron scored 30, Sabonis gave 25, Keegan 12, Harrison 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, like, we won, and we needed those 8 points for sure, but, you know, yeah, that's just kind of the feeling that you get more times than not.
And I just don't think this is the same as, as somebody said, well, De'Aaron wasn't playing well, so let's bench him. That's different. The difference of benching De'Aaron and benching Harrison, that's quite different. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Crosstalk, Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Joined by the Drive Guys. Whitey Gleason is back. Whitey, how was your trip? Did you even get to do any of that talk? When I tuned in, by the time I got to my car from leaving the show, you guys were already getting after it. Did you even share any information on your trip? Okay.
Here and there. You know, I didn't want to, like I said, I didn't want to bore people with my vacation slideshow or anything like that. It was pretty amazing, though. Pretty cool. A guy that I bought a Japanese League hat from said Shohei's going to the Dodgers, so there you go.
Well, that's the three inside that's source. Left, right? The Giants, the Blue Jays, and the Dodgers, and maybe they're all smoke screens because we know he wants to win. I was talking to Chris about just the passion that you saw and heard in his voice during the World Baseball Classic, and unfortunately, if you want to be a contender every single season, and I don't think it helps, honestly, that the Dodgers lost.
Right.
So he can kind of Kevin Durant it and say, well, they didn't win the whole thing, right? You could use me. So, yeah, we're probably tricking ourselves into thinking that he wants to be with the Giants. I don't know why he would want to be with the Giants, but he did follow those Giants mm-hmm. on social media in Casey Schmidt and Logan Webb. Does it mean anything? I think we're going to find out pretty soon.
The Casey Schmidt one I don't get. But it's also possible that I didn't ask the guy who sold me the hat anything close to what I thought I asked him. Yeah. That's also possible too.
So you were trying to speak Japanese.
I was, because I've studied it a little bit when I was in college, but you know, it's a whole different thing when people are actually speaking it rather than sitting there with your book, Watashi wa, you know.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Hey, hold on.
Hold on.
It was very educational. I guess that's the best way to learn, but I'm gonna have to go back if I'm gonna
trial
make
by fire.
Any
okay.
Love it.
Yeah. All right.
If I'm gonna be a Japanese language baseball announcer, yeah. I got a lot of
you got time.
I can see that for you.
You got time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You got time. So you let Drapes have it last night about the Eagles. I mean, they got whooped.
I got to tell you, I was really impressed with him because I wasn't here last week. Of course, I didn't know all of what he'd said, but I knew that we had kind of a general agreement that the loser, if you will, was going to wear the other team's jersey. But I didn't know if we really nailed that down. So I thought, well, do I bring it up? What do we do? And he came in, as you know. Well, you don't know because we didn't do the crossover. But he came in doing the...
Oh, some light shade there. That was just
look,
slightest...
Man,
he came in doing the... wearing the Brock Purdy jersey that he bought on his own. So that
was...
Wow.
Yeah. That was
there you go.
Cool.
You got Brock MVP?
Right now? Yeah, right now. Sure. But there's a lot of pizza left in that box.
Is there, though?
Five games, yeah. And I mean...
Jalen Hurts lost an MVP last year, this stretch of games, you know, being hurt last year.
It's injury, and it's maybe here's what the way I see it. The only way Brock Purdy doesn't win MVP is if he gets outplayed by Lamar, and if Dak Prescott handles I don't even know if they can just barely beat the Eagles after we just saw what the Niners did. Dak Prescott is going to have to handle the Eagles this weekend and then essentially run the table. Whoever loses first probably loses it. That's how I see it. I think Jalen's done.
If something were to happen with, you know, similar to what we saw with the 49ers, Trent Williams and McCaffrey, and I hope it doesn't happen, and there's no reason to think it will, but if it did, and then Brock all of a sudden has to try to do more, like we saw in that three-game losing streak, you know, he's going to take more chances, get loose with the ball, and then he probably would not win the MVP.
That's true.
Know, so we'll see. Right now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Hopefully not.
That's true.
Whitey, we were having a pretty big conversation before the show. I think it was yesterday between the three of us here. Do you think that 49er fans really care about this MVP conversation?
No, because they're so focused on...
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a nice feather in the cap.
Yeah.
Also, I think the 49er fan base, I don't know what you think, Alan. I know you worked there a long time.
Right.
To a degree, they're also split on exactly what Purdy is. And I think it's more like 75-25 now. But even a lot of the faithful were not totally sold on Brock Purdy.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And are still, I think there are still some that are like, well, we can win with him, but boy, I don't know.
I think it's
fewer and fewer, but I think there's
I think
still
it's
there.
Definitely dwindling.
Yeah.
I think weather, you know, and there are people, oh, well, his yak yards are less than Mahomes when he won. Sure. I'm not – great. Yak. That's all fine and dandy. I think the bottom line is that we have not seen Brock look like this, missing – he has the most pieces, and when he misses one, it's a problem, right? Jalen Hurts beat the Chiefs without Dallas Goedert and the Bills without Dallas Goedert. So – it's not a matter of, to me, oh, he has too many weapons. The problem is we've seen him without one weapon and he looks different. Whereas these other guys, it's somewhere in between. You know, what I was saying to Chris is it's hard to give Patrick Mahomes the MVP when he has Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill balling, and then give him the MVP because he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. Well, now it's really hard for him, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't do that and in good faith not have Brock Purdy a part of the conversation if the numbers matter, because we know what his numbers are. And I do think storylines matter. But also at that same time, these other guys do not have what Brock has. That's also not Brock's fault.
Right. But I also think, to Chris's point, I think the MVP in the NFL means less than it does in baseball or the NBA. It's typically a quarterback award. You know,
it's about respect, it's nice, though.
But I agree with you, Chris. The 49er fans want their quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And the that's MVP's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's but the conversation I think they want to hear.
Well, maybe, look, and you know how social media can be. It depends totally on what your algorithm is. But I see a lot of, I was right on Brock Purdy. He's disrespected and everybody is a victim.
That's because you were wrong.
I was not wrong on Brock. I said
I was.
I get no. You were wrong. These same people, right? These fans. You were wrong on Brock. If after 8 games you didn't want him in Canton, you were wrong on Brock. And now it's I told you he'd be this. Those fans, and I've said it before. Those fans are the fans that go to baseball games and call a home run every time. Those fans are the same guys that said Jimmy was the guy, the same guy that said C.J. Beathard was the guy, and they finally hit on Brock Purdy, and now they think they're GMs.
Huh.
And we got to give them their flowers every single day. It's exhausting. That's the problem with Brock Purdy. It's not Brock. Brock is a smaller QB. He's right up my alley. But the fans are just insufferable.
Wow.
They're insufferable.
I'm fully on board with him, but I have to admit, you know, when he made the team as a rookie – in camp, there was a lot of people that are saying, whoa, watch this guy. I said, he's no good. I said, Sudfeld's going to make the team as a backup. Yeah. Come on, you're kidding yourself. So I was dead wrong about that. Mm-hmm. But now I see, wow, okay. I see why they picked him up. And I guess it was your team, wasn't it, Chris? The Vikings, according to reports, they were also very interested in Purdy.
Yes.
If he hadn't been drafted.
You know, it's the same thing people are doing with Halliburton now, in a way. Well, I told him. Whitey, here's the problem. I know, so do I.
I thought the Warriors should have taken him
Just enjoy the game. Uh-huh. Whitey, people are more concerned about being right about Brock Purdy than they are. I do think it's closer than you think. I'm telling you, the ball is in the air, Chris. And people are drafting their texts. I thought he was check down Charlie. Before they even catch the ball, just enjoy the game.
You know why, though?
Eat some wings, even if they're boneless, and just enjoy the game.
It's because I understand what you're saying and how aggravating it can be. But it's because we've never really seen anything quite like it. And so it's a great story. It really is. And that's why people are having a hard time.
It's a great story, but it's just... Even what was it, last week or whatever, when it's like, how is he sixth in MVP? This is so disrespectful. That was week 12, week 13. Can you just let it play out? And now it's, we told you. It's just, I've been waiting to get that out because they're just enjoy the game, man. I'm sorry. You're making Brock, how do you make an underdog less likable? Somehow a certain group of Niner fans are finding a way to make Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, finding a way to make him less likable. How do you do that?
See, I disagree with you. I understand your point, but to me, he's no less likable. I don't care how people are reacting to him. I'm just marveling at what he's doing. I mean, marveling at what he's doing. You look at the numbers, what is it, with a 70% completion percentage, is we have 5 games in a row, which is the longest for the 49ers since Montana had 8 in 89. All these things like that. And sure, some of that system and Shanahan, but it's not all that, and it's incredible.
Yeah, and I don't want to do the game anymore. We can't do the game anymore. I think what is going to be tough, and I will say this, Brock, I don't want to say lucky, I'm not saying lucky, but Brock and whoever cares about Brock winning the MVP should be glad that the Chiefs lost to the Packers, because that conversation of what Mahomes is doing to not be that far behind Brock in numbers with guys that are basically JUCO wide receivers, I'm just saying you don't have to worry about it now because the Chiefs cannot win.
Is Harrison Barnes the Jimmy Garoppolo of the Kings? I think Chris and I talked about that weeks ago.
Is
Harrison Barnes the Jimmy Garoppolo of the Kings?
That's a crazy
statement. No.
It's like a question. It's not.
You're just
not.
Asking questions.
I'm just asking the question, Alan.
You're not saying
no,
anything.
He's not.
You're just asking questions.
No, he's not. He's not. And I don't even know who that's disrespectful to be completely honest with you. I just know it's not.
It's disrespectful to anyone.
It's just disrespectful in both. It's disrespectful to both. All right. Drive Guy's up next.
I hope so.
Whitey is back. He was back yesterday. He's back today. First crosstalk, and he's already got me fired up. You get four more hours of this. Whitey and Draper, the Drive Guys, until tomorrow. Secure the bag. Light the beam.